Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill. How are we doing? Good to see everybody. One of the brothers is back in the sanctuary today, so I just have to do this. Band of brothers! I'll be sending an email this upcoming week about some things, so be ready for that. But our you know, mascot man is here, so we had to make sure we do that. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to come together in the house of the Lord, and excited to gather as we continue through our study through the book of Acts this morning. Let's go to our King in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, for this day that you have given us. Thank you, Father God, for bringing us together, Lord, where we can worship you, where we can praise you, and Lord, now where we can focus, mighty King, on the preaching of your word. Father, be at the center of this time, Lord Jesus. Father, I ask for your leading hand, Lord, as we go through this text, Father God. May your spirit come upon me to give me the words that are needed for your people. May it be exactly what you ordain and how you ordain it. And Lord, may we all have ears to hear this morning. And Father God, as we walk through this text, I pray this morning for you know what each and every single person comes into this place with, Lord, this morning. And you know where there are struggles, Lord. You know where some have given up. You know where some have lost hope, Lord. You know where there is secret sin. You know where there are prodigals, Lord, that some perhaps have given up praying for, Father God, or given hope that things can change, Lord. Yet, Father, through our text today, we will be reminded to not lose hope, to not give up. For, Lord, you are there. Lord, you are speaking. Lord, you are moving. So, mighty King, have your way in this place. We pray all this in the majestic name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Sorry, this is an odd request. Is the iMac still playing iTunes? Because I got like a private concert going on through the earpieces right now while I was praying. I was like, there's some praise tunes going on over here, but don't want to hear them while I'm preaching. All right, so let's get right into this. So last week, as we looked in Acts, we were, thank you, it's gone, okay. We can sing songs later beforehand, but thank you, Betsy. Last week, we got to look at that, the text walking through and pondering the majority versus going with just the Lord God Almighty, because we looked, and as we were walking through, we were reminded of an application as we saw Paul coming forth and trying to tell these guys, hey, there's some danger ahead. We might not be going the best course of action right now, and they didn't want to listen. And we had to think about how oftentimes experts and majority can say, no, this is it, but sometimes the Lord impresses, oftentimes the Lord speaks, and are we willing to stand on what our Lord God Almighty says, no matter what? Are you willing to stand when what you're doing might not make sense to everyone, doesn't fully go there, but the Lord is making it clear and it doesn't go against the word of God? Are you willing to stand no matter what? Now, as we dig in and continue going through the storm at sea, as we continue in Acts chapter 27, question that I have for everyone this morning is, how was your week? How is your week? How is this particular season of life for you right now? How are things going? If we think this week, we had a trio of hope on Wednesday with the Psalms that we looked at, and my precious honey bunny pointed that out as I was talking to her yesterday, and when I share, you know, where the Lord's laying on my heart to move, and she's like, oh, that's so funny, because Wednesday we were talking about a trio of hope, and now you're talking about hopelessness, and I was like, oh, wow, I didn't even think of that, babe, thank you. Wives are awesome. But there's that reminder for us. So we had this three Psalms that we walked through of hope, of looking to the hope of the great I am. And then this morning we're going to be looking and walking through some passages that are going to speak to us an application of hopelessness, of when we give up. The verse I want us to think of is Acts 27, the chapter we're in, verse 20. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. In that moment, in the circumstance that's there, the sun or stars, the navigation, the things that they would hold to, we're not talking GPS, we're talking navigation old school, and they couldn't see anything, they can't have the direction of where they're going, it's all gone. And in that very moment, hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Hope that we would be saved, finally given up. Look back to the week. Look back to the season that you're in right now. Look back to your life. Anybody have any moments this last week where you felt like giving up? Perhaps you're in a place where you kind of have given up. Perhaps you're in a place where the hope that you know is there, you're hoping on it, but it's not there. Or maybe there's someone in your life, there's a family member that you love so much and you used to be so diligent praying for that person. Come back, bring them back to the Lord. And now suddenly you look and you're like, you know, I don't anymore because I gave up on him. Or maybe there's a relationship with a friend, relationship with a family member, or maybe you're in the midst of your marriage right now and you're sitting here, but within your marriage, you both are in a place where we're kind of giving up. We're here, but we're kind of done. Where are you this morning? And some of you may be here and like, well, no, none of this is applicable, so I'm going to go get a coffee. Well, guess what? There may be a time in the future. I probably will say there will be. Where hope might be hard to hold on to, or you may feel like giving up. And this passage this morning will remind us in the midst of that, remember our mighty God. Remember the King of Kings. Remember who's on the throne and who is in control when those moments come. If you can put the map up, let's just remind ourselves geographically where we are. We left off and we were at Fair Havens. It's kind of right in the middle, and that's where Paul warns of the voyage. And then we see that they keep going and they're going out to sea, and you see a squiggly line where the storm is, and that's about where we're going to be right now, and they're throwing over the cargo and everything. And then we're going to see Paul now come, and he's going to remind them, hey, God actually has a word for us here, and God's reminding us, have courage, take heart, it's going to be all right. But they're in the midst of this storm. And in the text, we'll even see today a reference to the Adriatic Sea. And that's where right now, where you see those squiggles, that's what in the ancient times would be referred to as the Adriatic Sea, lying between Crete, Malta, Sicily, all there. So that's where we are geographically right now. And to remind us of the storm, we look at verse 14. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euryclidon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. We looked at these verses, and they let the ship completely go. And running under the shelter, letting go of the wheel of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. They get the lifeboat secured, but it's a challenge. When they'd taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they run aground on the Syrtis sands, talked about that last week, they struck sail, and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed the next day, they lightened the ship because it's going wild. So they're trying to figure out how do we make it so we can get through this. Third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands, the things that would be used to get everything off when they're at port. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood up in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. So this is where Paul comes forth. And I want you to notice as we go through the verses we're going to this morning, Paul, who is prisoner, Paul, who was the one who we're not listening to him. Majority says, the experts say we're going forward. Suddenly, you're going to see Paul becomes the voice leading. Suddenly, Paul becomes the voice that everyone is listening to. Oftentimes, the voice of God's people is ignored. But then when it really gets challenging, then when it gets hard, what did you say again about that, Lord? Can you pray for me now? That's what ends up happening. we think about that. I think of times where different schools where I worked and, you know, it would be sharing the gospel and folks would be standoffish. And then 9 times out of 10, if something really tragic happened in a life, suddenly that same person who would sometimes joke at little Christian Vince would come and say, hey, can you pray with me? This is going on. And I think in the culture we're in where we can talk about things getting harder in our country, we can talk about persecution that may come, will come for the bride of Christ, and many can say, oh my goodness, you're being so melodramatic. What's wrong with you? Stop it. Everything's fine. We live in a free country. It's great. And suddenly then when it gets harder, those same folks will be the ones, hang on, what did you say about that again? And what's that rapture thing you keep talking about? Because maybe that's real too. Well, it is real. But this is what ends up happening. This is what ends up going. So we see that. And we're going to notice Paul, what he just said, some, if we just stop there, we would just say, well, I'm going to follow Paul. When it gets bad for them, I'm just going to say, told you so. Should have listened to me. Nanny, nanny. No, 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 no. Paul makes it clear. Hey, I told you this was going to go down. And then he does a component that we often neglect. He encourages. He comes with what the Lord God Almighty has shared to take those that are in turmoil around and say, let's press onward. Let's keep going forward. And we have to know that that comes from the heart motive that we see from Paul consistently, a heart for the people, a heart for the people. And you have to then even yourself figure out what's your heart motive? What's your heart motive? Is your heart motive for the people or not? What is your heart motive? So he says there, we shouldn't have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And then verse 22, and now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. So that's got to be something fascinating to picture these guys who everything is going on. This is complete turmoil. The guy who kind of warned now says, I told you this wasn't going to happen. And now suddenly he's saying, urge you, take heart. There's going to be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. It's like, we're all going to make it. You got to wonder, says who? What are you talking about? But notice now he prints forth where this is coming from and where it's come from for him steadfast. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. So these are the words that he now brings forth here, and there's important pieces to notice. So yes, he does give the little, guys, told you this was a bad idea. And in that waiting, we can imagine what it must have been like, Paul staying steadfast to what the Lord God Almighty has told him, has spoken to him, staying true. This is a challenge, and we saw that against the majority. It's when we looked at it last week, it's like when the Lord's leading you to do one thing, and then everybody's saying, well, we got to do it this way, and you say, no, I'm going to obey and follow the Lord's way, and then people still get upset at you. And then we see here right now, he's still going to stay steadfast to the Lord, because the fruit of it is seen in what we see and how he says, for there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve. Steadfast to the Lord's going to continue to speak to you. The Lord will continue to minister to your heart. And what does he point here? This is the God whom I belong and whom I serve. And these are two important pieces, belonging to God, serving God, belonging to our God, and serving our God. And we have to ask ourselves, where are you with that? And ultimately, who do you truly serve? It's easy with our lips to say, I serve the Lord, but we know what our Savior says. The lips can say a lot, but the heart can be very far from him. Who do you belong to? Who do you serve? Where is your identity Where is your purpose? Remember, child of God, Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He has a very set calling for every single person here this morning, every single one of us. He has a calling for, but it starts with how you identify. When you think of the Lord God Almighty, do you then go, I belong to him and I serve him. I belong to God of creation and I am a bondservant to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Two very important pieces. And noticing that angel of God coming, because the Lord speaks to his people in different ways and he's still speaking to his people in different ways. Dreams, visions, confirmed with the word of God. And he comes forth and says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Four words. If you're in that place right now where hope is kind of given up in a situation, where you've kind of feel like there's no hope for Johnny to ever know the Lord, or there's no hope for me to give up this addiction that I have, or there's no hope for dot, dot, dot. And when we lose hope, when we want to give up, fear is winning. But those are four words our Savior says over and over and over and over. Our King says over and over and over again, do not be afraid. Do you hear that, children of God? Do you have that reminder etched on your heart? And he reminds Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. The Lord has this angel come and give that reminder. There's a place that the Lord has said he's going to bring you, and you've got to get there. For every single one of us that's here this morning, that's our names are in the book of life, guess what? There's a place we're going to be with him forever. Who's excited? Okay, that was a mediocre excitement. Who's excited? All right, there we go. That sounds like people waiting for the, now we got to go outside and look at the sky. But what we realize here, there's an excitement, and he's going to get us there. And in the midst of the storms that come, in the midst of when we want to give up, in the midst of when there isn't hope, he's saying, do not be afraid. And he's reminding us, we're going to be brought to forever with him. We're going to go there. And the Lord's going to remind us that over and over and over and over again, because we need it over and over and over again. Think of the journey for Paul up to this point. I want to remind us two places where the Lord was nudging this on him. Chapter 19 of Acts, verse 21. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So the Lord was already stirring in his heart, purposing within him through the Spirit of God, you've got to get to Rome. Then chapter 23, verse 11, but the following night the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. And that's the Lord coming, standing by him. So you reminding, the Lord's going to give those reminders over and over and over again. I'm getting you where I told you we're going to go. We're going to get there. I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for what I'm doing right now. And we have to remember that when we're at sea on the turbulent waves. The slide that the Lord had Ashlyn create for this sermon, I love it because it's that boat literally at sea, tossing and turning. And we all have that. We're all sailing, if you think about it. We're at sea. This life is sea. Anybody have stormy waters going down? They come. And if you're obedient to the Lord God Almighty, guess what? It's going to be a little tipsy-turvy, swervy, stormy. And he has a purpose, and he has a plan within it. In this case, this is a plan to get Paul exactly where he needs him, Malta. We're going to see that because there's a work the Lord needed to do through Paul at Malta, and he uses all this to get him there and witness to 275 others along the way. And the angel of the Lord went on, and indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. All of those who are there, all of those who are panicking right now, They're going to be okay. God's granted it. Nothing that you're going to do, nothing that. And that's a piece we have to remember in these things. Our culture's so good, we make it about us. We make it about, I'm going to strong this. God's granting it. The Lord's the one who does it. And then what? Therefore, because the angels come, because you belong, you serve him, don't be afraid. Because he's going to bring you to Caesar, because he's granted that all are going to be there. Paul then says, therefore, take heart, men. And the word take heart that we see both times is the equivalent of be of good cheer. Have courage. Take heart. For I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. And notice, Paul doesn't say here, for I believe in God. I believe God. There is power in that. Because that's making it clear what he says is absolute. Period, punct, finished. When we put in that I believe in, it can, you can know, the enemy believes in God. Let's be real here. There's the I believe God. What he says is what it will be. That's why it's so important that we rightly divide the word of God verse by verse, meticulously going, because we need to realize this is not subjective or relative truth. This is absolute truth. This is absolute. There's no debating, well, will that actually? No, y'all, this is it. This is it. I love how, and this may be one folks know, I hadn't known it till Pastor Jeff had sent it to me once, basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what the Bible is. Because it's all of our guidance, it's all of our tools, it's everything we need to know before we get pulled up and snatched up or go home to the Lord. This is all absolute truth. So he puts that there, and just as it was told, however, we must run aground on a certain island, making it clear to the Lord's going to get us where we're going to go. There's a certain island we're going to run aground, but the Lord isn't always going to give us every single detail along the way. And if we think of Psalm 119, 105, he just gives us enough light for the next step. So we got to keep going step by step. That's why we walk with him, we walk in the Spirit, and we hold his hand, and we walk and go. Now, when the 14th night, verse 27, had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, that's the squiggly line on the map pointing to that central Mediterranean Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. So they're sensing that land is there, and then doing the soundings is a weighted string that they put, and then they pick it back up. A fathom is about 6 feet, so it's about 120 feet, 90 feet. So they're noticing, it's just like when you're out to sea, the closer you get to land, it's going to get shallow, more shallow, more shallow. So noticing this, then they respond to circumstance. Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow. So we see here two efforts that go down at once for false security. And this is something we have to be mindful of, we have to be on guard of when we're in the storm, when hope feels lost, when we want to give up. These are things that we can sometimes do. So the first thing, fear comes, and what are they going to do? They're dropping anchors from the stern. They're dropping anchors because at this point they're thinking, okay, if we do this, let's try to get hooked somewhere so that we can stay. It's a little bit of a false security. Now, they did get to a good anchor and prayed for day to come. But notice the prayers only came. Finally, we see that they're deciding to pray when fear and when it looks like we're about to die. And for some, that's the reality. They can hear the gospel. They can have family members who know the Lord, everything. And it's not till they're facing death that it's suddenly, wait, I want to hear that gospel. And if you hear that and in your heart it's kind of, well, that's not fair. I'm giving up all these things for the Lord. That's not how it goes. walk in the lovely mercy and grace of the great I am. I got to say that because some folks do that. It's like, well, do they really get to go to heaven? I mean, they don't do anything the whole time and then now they give it to the Lord. That's not fair. It's, did you die on the cross? No, it's God's mercy and grace. It's his. We don't get to decide how it goes, but we get to stand in awe. We get to say, wow, how incredible and powerful you are. So they fear, they throw these anchors, missing the real anchor. Paul gave them what the real anchor is, the word of God, the presence of God, an awareness of God, knowing God is in control, God is leading and guiding. That's what they could have grabbed to, but they don't. But they do something we always should do when the storm's there. Pray for day to come. When you're in the storm, when you feel like giving up, get on your knees and pray. Get on your knees and pray. And don't let the enemy give you this lie that means, well, but I got to have this whole preamble. Romans 8:26, the Spirit will make groanings of intercession for us when we don't know what to pray. Sometimes it is just that groan, and let the Spirit of God take over. Let the Spirit of God pray. The Lord may will then the gift of tongues come over, and suddenly you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and the whole circumstance changes because your countenance has changed because you've let the Spirit of God take over rather than try to control it yourself. So pray for day to come. But don't put false anchors out. And then look at these sailors. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they let down the skiff into the sea under the pretense of putting anchors from the prow, so they're going to the front of the ship, the prow, and they're pretending, oh yeah, we're putting those anchors. Let's get the lifeboat down so we can get out of here. You ever do that? You might be in a relationship. You might, that's an escape that comes in marriages and relationship and family or in ministry. It can come. It's getting hard. I'm going to run away. I'm outie. It's not going to work that way. The circumstance is still there. You're still going to have to deal with it. So don't try to make your own lifeboat. Go to the one who's over it all, the Lord God Almighty. Don't try to make a lifeboat. It's not going to go well. And what's interesting here, when we think of what Paul has already ordained and spoken that the Lord has given, this also gives us a little portrait of a reminder that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. It gives us a little reminder because notice it was already foreordained. Indeed, God has granted all those who sail with you. They're going to get to Rome. It's already told. They're getting there. So then the question kind of becomes, which boat do you want to get in? Your lifeboat, which is not the one that happens, or are you going to stay in the boat that the Lord God has given and said, hey, he made it clear, no loss of life among you, only the ship. The material is going to go bye-bye, but we're gonna have our lives. What boat are you going to get into? It's a little portrait application to salvation. The Lord God's made it clear there's an eternity. The boat we get in decides what that eternity is going to look like. And that's that mystery that we get of God's sovereign election and free will and the mystery of salvation. I'm not going to sit here and try to force you on one camp because it's all working simultaneously at once. So you can take your isms and I'll just go with the Bible. Sound good? Good. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, verse 31, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. So that was dealt with. And notice, though, whose voice is now leading? The dude they were ignoring, suddenly he's like, hey, centurion, soldiers, this is going down. Okay, boop, cut it off. Interesting. Focusing on what the Lord has ordained. That's what he's been doing. And the Lord opens the opportunity for his voice to be heard. It's not about sometimes who screams the loudest. Sometimes the best thing you can do is be quiet and let God work. Let God work. And then the Lord opens opportunity to speak. And then you do. Verse 33. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, Today's the 14th day. You've waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Now, don't get lost thinking, but look at this. These guys were fasting for 14 days. Clearly, they were on it. No, I don't know about you, but think of what we learned about the cold pressure, hot pressure, all of it, waves over 32 feet. Go back if you weren't here, the pictures we saw of the waves and how big they were. I don't think that's really a place. After all, I've had GI land late recently. Rest and digest isn't going to go so well like that. Right? So they can't really put the body in that rest and digest, so they're not eating. Fear's taking over. All of these, the panic taking over. But then in this point now, Paul's coming forth. No, take some food and eat. Today's the 14th day. You got to take food. He says there's 34. Therefore, I urge you, take nourishment, for this is for your survival. Because he's going to point further, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. He speaks a word of faith. Listen, guys, all the hairs on your head, none of them are going to fall from you. None. And if you don't have any hair, they're not going to grow. Just kidding. But no hairs are going to fall from your head. He makes that moment very, very clear to them. He gives this to them and says, get some food in you. Because for what's about to come, we need food. You need nourishment. So get some food in you right now. And it's going to be okay. And you got to think about that. To hear that and actually go forward with that, these guys have to have a real perspective shift. Because think of what they've gone through these last 14 days. There's no sun, no stars. And now this guy is saying, let's eat. Let's eat. If you're in the storm, if you feel like giving up, if you feel hopeless, there's something you actually still need to do. Eat. This is very practical, basic biblical advice. Don't starve yourself when you're in the storm. That happens. You go through a period of grief, you go through sadness, you go through a trial, you go through hardship, and what's one of the things we often don't do? Eat. I'm too stressed, I'm too this, I'm too that. No. Nourish yourself. That's a vital thing you got to do. And then verse 35, and when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all, we were 276 persons on the ship. Look at how the Lord uses this moment. We've got a bunch of 276 total on this ship. Not knowing the Lord God Almighty. Circumstance comes. The one chosen by God speaks forth, ignored. And let me tell you, as an under-shepherd, you can often be ignored, speaking what the Lord has asked you to speak. But then things came, and now suddenly they're listening because it's realized, okay, what you said was actually there. Maybe we should listen now. And then gets to remind, God's got us. The God I belong to, the God I serve has us. We're going to get there. So let's eat. And now I'm going to give thanks to my Lord. And you can imagine with the Hebrew culture, the prayers with hands lifted up. When's the last time you did that at Magone's when you go to get your pizza? Just lift hands, Lord, we thank you for the food. Do it today. But truly, takes this moment to give thanks. To say, thank you, Lord, for providing. When you're in the storm, when you want to give up, when it feels hopeless, we don't wait for everything to be the way that we want it to be to give thanks to God. We give thanks to God because he is God. And that can be a challenge. That can be a challenge when circumstance isn't changing, when you're not seeing that family member move the way you want, when the pain is still going on, when you feel crummy, it can be hard to still say thank you, Jesus, because you're kind of like, what am I thanking you for right now? This stinks. Who he is, and that he's providing, that his hand is there. And notice the fruit of Paul's steadfast faith. They were all encouraged. They weren't encouraged by all that he has done. They get encouraged by the fact, look at this faith of this dude. We are going to be okay. Let's see. Look, he's given thanks to God. We're going to be okay. How you handle the storms is a witness to those around you. It's a witness. Sadly, too many children of God, storm comes, you get bitter, you get whiny, you get complainy, you get gossipy, you get slandery, as that's a word. You do all these things that don't glorify the Lord. Yet Ephesians 4, which is all about unity, remember we looked at this the other day, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So in the storm, check your heart. In the storm, let the muck that the enemy tries to put that keeps us all like this, that's what he does. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Keep your eyes on Jesus and let your witness in the storm when it feels hopeless, when you want to give up, when it's like, what's the point? Let your hope be in our King and press onward, child of God, because he's got us. He holds us and others will be encouraged. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. So sad for all the bread makers in this church, all that wasted wheat, but they throw it all into the sea. Lighten the load. So we keep going now. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. So they're seeking to go forward and follow the plan. We're going to run aground somewhere. And they let go of the anchors and left them in the sea, meanwhile loosing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. Little thing I'll say, if you like tangential reading, Robert Cornuke, The Lost Shipwreck of Paul, interesting read. And when you look to that, and there's debate on some, you know, he doesn't have enough scholarship, this, that, but he did, following what Luke laid out our author here and doing a dive to find these anchors that we see here lost at sea. Read it in your own time if you're interested. It is not, whenever we bring up a book, reminding folks it's not the word of God. It's just something tangential that you can read if you're interested in. So going forward, but striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship, but the stern was being broken by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. So they're going, they hit this reef, they're running, the front end gets stuck, the stern, the rear gets whacked by the waves. Everything that the Lord made clear and spoke through the angel of the Lord, it's coming down. It's taking place. And then there's this bit where the soldiers, we got to kill the prisoners. You can say, why are they doing that? Remember what we learned about how it worked with Roman law. You lose a prisoner, you lose your life. So the easiest thing, let's just kill them all so we're all okay. They have their purpose, but remember, God has a purpose to get him there, for all to be taken care of, all their lives to be spared, and he had a purpose for this little detour in Malta, as we're going to see next week. So their purpose, God's purpose, will always prevail. Because notice, he kept them from their purpose. He uses the centurion, and many times we see in Acts, and this is another moment reminder, civil authority, different folks, the Lord will use whoever he needs to for his will, his plan, and his purpose. And what the Lord ordains and wills, ain't nothing gonna stop it. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what, how eloquent you can be with words or not eloquent or whatever you're gonna do, you can't stop it. And then notice what takes place. They all escaped safely to land. They got there. Different ways. You know, some holding a little piece of wood, some floating, some swimming. But guess what? They all got there. Guess what, child of God? If you're clinging to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to get you there. If you cling to the great I am, he's going to get you there. It's when we try to take control ourselves. It's when we try to say, I've gotta. It gets too, don't kick against the goads, gets too tricky. It's those ones that wanted to get into the lifeboat because that's the act of control in the storm. And we do that so often because then you feel like I'm doing something. I'm taking this lifeboat and I'm putting it over and it's going to go down and I have a plan. And how's that really going to work if those guys ended up getting in that lifeboat? How is that really going to work? We have one captain, the Lord God Almighty. And he's created a vessel for us to stay on, to go on, to walk on. So I go back to the question this morning. Who here has given up hope somewhere? Who here feels like giving up in a circumstance that you're in a friendship, in a relationship, in a situation? Maybe there's something the Lord's called you to do and you faithfully said, okay, Lord, we're in, we're doing it. We don't care what it looks like, we're in. And it's just been trial after trial after trial after trial, and you're like, Lord, we are after trial, and you've given up. Hope's gone. Who's got a prodigal? Who's got a child, a wayward child, or a family member who doesn't know the Lord, and you've given up? You're not praying as much. You're not asking others to intercede because you kind of reach the point, whatever. I just don't know. Or maybe if you let the Lord search your heart this morning, you have that relative you are praying for, but your heart's so filled with bitterness and hate towards them that what kind of prayers are you really sending up? Because the Lord wants the real, the genuine. Who do you belong to? Who do you serve? Are you walking in fear in the midst of this? Paul, can you come up here? There's an assurance we have in the Lord Jesus Christ when you've given your life to him and when truly I'm all in, Lord. There's an assurance. If you haven't done that yet, I pray this may be the day you do that. Because if you haven't done it, you're choosing the lifeboat, which intellectually makes you think it we're going to be okay. Because many of us can intellectualize, but salvation's about the heart. He wants your heart. But then also, brothers and sisters, if we're real, which I pray we let the word of God pierce our hearts, that he can have us, that he can have his way in our lives. Some of us have gotten things we've given up on that we need to not give up. We need to not lose hope. We need to lay it at the feet of our King. And we need to say, Lord, I leave it at your throne room and come to you, leaving hope in your hands. So we're going to have us sing this song that we sang a part of the set, I'll Come to the Altar. And I was laughing. It took me this morning because Paul sent out the set list earlier this week. And it was this morning as I'm praying over the text. And I was like, ha, we're singing Broken Vessels and we're going to be on a vessel. And then I was like, oh, Come to the Altar. And Lord, whoa, you're cool how you chose these songs. And I share that because you got to realize the Lord's the one, he ordains it all. He puts it all together. It's not like we hop on the phone, let me tell you what I'm going to be preaching on Sunday so you strategically pick. We don't. Maybe some do, we don't. But we trust the Lord and he did. So what I'm going to say is we're going to have a time of worship singing this song, and Paul's great. He can keep it going and keep adding choruses as are needed. But let's let this also be an open time of prayer. And we're going to do something that might be a little different from what we normally do, but I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. I am going to ask our elders and their wives to be up for prayer. They'll be up here for prayer if you need prayer. I'll be up here for prayer. But also, you might just need to come speak to the Lord. And rather than just stay there, take a knee up here And it's not that we're doing any, well, why am I doing that? Because you're actually acknowledging physically, which means it gets more ingrained in heart, mind, soul, body, spirit, and union with the Lord. I am coming and I'm laying it at the altar. I'm laying where I've given up before you, Lord. I'm laying where I feel like there's no more hope before you. And it may be that you come up because you want one of us to just pray with you because that prodigal, that broken relationship, whatever it is. But brothers and sisters, the word of God has been preached. Now is the time to let yourself respond to how the Lord spoke to you this morning. If there's bitterness that needs to be laid, come get up here, lay it at his feet. And I know that, right, as you start to think of that, well, that's just weird, or I'm not doing that, and you just want to stay where you are, you can. But my prayer is that we let the Lord have his way in our lives, and we let his spirit move as he's leading. And coming to kneel before your Savior, it's quite in accordance with the word of God. Coming and responding to the word of God is quite in accordance with the word of God. So again, we're going to sing this song to our King. If I can get the elders and their wives to come on up. Thank you, y'all, precious ones. And let's take this time and we'll stand and sing to our King. Let's all come on to our feet and stand to our King as we sing this. And that might make it easier if you need to come up. Now you don't need to worry. Oh, who's watching me? I don't want to be the only one standing. Well, now everybody's standing. So now what's your excuse to not come lay it at the cross? If the Lord's leading you and you need prayer, come get prayer. If the Lord's leading you, just need to come kneel before him. Come kneel before him. One of the sisters did that a few weeks ago, and it was just a moment with her and the Lord and reminded me. I went home that night, and my prayer posture changed because of that. Because it was a reminder. Sometimes you got to just kneel before our King. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word, the power of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the reminders this morning, Lord, that you get us to the finish line you set before, Father God. You are the God of deliverance. You are the God of salvation. Father, may we not look to the false anchors and the false ways of trying to escape, but, Lord, may we stand in you, and, Lord, may we anchor in you, the great I am. So, Father, I pray as we sing this song, Lord, you know where you've spoken to the hearts of your people. Father, may we just come lay it at your feet. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was brought with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. A Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Holy Father, Lord God Almighty, Lord, we are so grateful that we can come to you, Lord. Father, you know the things that have been laid at your feet this morning. Lord, you know the areas where hope was lost, where a desire to give up was present, Lord. And Father, we thank you that your word reminds us to take heart. That, Lord, our names in the book of life, you're going to get us to that eternity with you, Lord. To trust you, Father. To know, Lord, it won't always be smooth sailing, but, Lord, it can be steadfast peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father God, thank you that we've been able to come to you. Lord, be with my brothers and sisters here, Lord. You know how you spoke to each and every single person. You know what was put down in prayer, Lord. And Father, we just ask for your filling afresh on each person here. That, Lord, the Spirit of God fill each person here. Mighty King, to be the men and women you have ordained and called them to be for your glory. Father, we trust in you, we worship you, we love you, we look to you, Lord. We look to you, for where else does our help come from? But from the God of heaven and earth. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you. I pray you give all travel mercies, and Lord, may we continue to worship and surrender unto you when we gather to pray this afternoon. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen.